This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Gender-based violence remains one of the most pressing issues in Ireland today, and conversations around prevention are becoming more urgent. One of the voices contributing to that conversation is Molly Smith, host of the Healing Gals podcast. Through honest, thoughtful discussions on healing and lived experience, Molly has built a platform that connects with listeners around Ireland. She recently shared a TikTok exploring how technology could be used to make prevention of gender-based violence a reality. Molly, thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat. I know that you're best known as the host of the Healing Gals podcast. Was there a moment or experience that inspired you to create that?
Yeah, I suppose I started Healing Gals podcast 2 years ago after, I think, like, it was less of one individual moment and more of like a collection of kind of difficult experiences where I had experienced domestic violence, I had experienced assault, I had experienced coercive control, and it led me to do a lot of work on myself. I think the straw that broke the camel's back, I speak about this in episode one, was I had been in a relationship with a guy that I just thought was the best thing ever, and there of course were red flags, but I didn't value myself enough at the time to pay attention to them, and it transpired. One weekend early morning, I got a voice note from a woman saying, "Hi Molly, my name is," we call her Linda on the podcast because I respect her privacy, she's a fabulous woman, "you've been seeing my partner now for however long, I've been with him for 3 years, so I don't know how long you've been with him," and my reality just crumbled before me. And I suppose getting to a place where the reality that I thought was real was completely false, like I felt like my brain was broken, and it drove me to a lot of kind of internal work, a lot of therapy. And then once my life started to improve, Valerie, I just thought, oh my god, the gals have to know about this, there is a better way to live. So I decided to launch the podcast.
First of all, can I just say how sorry I am that all of that happened to you, and also that story that you've just touched on there with the girl who we're calling Linda, that must have been quite a land. I can't even imagine getting a voice note like that.
Yeah, it was truly, now gal, you just feel when everything that you thought was real is not real, you're just like, am I real? Like, is this, what have I missed, you know? But you know, I've learned that low self-esteem and a desire for the love that you're not giving yourself will lead you to these kind of people who take advantage, you know. So myself and Linda have gotten out of that, and I hope that I kept in touch with her for a very long time, and I send her all the love in the world. I hope she's doing well.
I hope she's doing well as well. And of course, this did lead then to the Healing Gals podcast. What led you to focus so strongly on healing and safety and prevention in it?
I suppose from my own experiences, like, I've been assaulted far too many times. Like, I now understand that women are like, Valerie, I can't overstate how special women are. What we do, how we live, how we love. I have only learned in the last couple of years how truly incredible we are. We've been kind of conditioned into this kind of competition against each other, you know, so that we're not living as this collective being. But when women are collective, they are incredibly special, incredibly powerful. And I suppose I wanted to be a medium that could, I wanted to create a platform or a medium where people could access those kind of lessons, that kind of information, and start to improve their self-love and improve their self-awareness and their self-compassion. Like, women are carrying an awful lot of shame for things that we have no business carrying, you know? So I really wanted to focus on us healing whatever wounds we're carrying, whatever traumas we've experienced, healing that so that we can prioritize our safety, prioritize our growth, prioritize living, like, honestly, the best life that we can, because we truly deserve it, you know?
We definitely do deserve it. And I love when people, when you say that so emphatically, you know, and it really hits home with people, and I hope people listen to that. But when we're talking about gender-based violence, you put up a TikTok recently that really resonated with so many, where you talked about using technology to prevent gender-based violence. Can you explain that idea to people who might not have come across that yet?
Sure. So my passion is is for women to get women to the awareness that they deserve the best life that they can have. And my brain is constantly coming up with ideas and creative solutions to the issue of male violence and gender-based violence. So one of the ideas, I regularly, if you follow me on my social medias, I regularly, like, I'll be driving and come up with this idea and I'll be like, right gals, I've found another idea, let's see if we go at it from this angle, can we solve this problem? And one of the ideas that I came up with was for us to use the existing technology out there to improve empathy on with the perpetrator. So at the moment, I don't know if you've seen in the news, Valerie, there's a lot going on about these chatbots and AI girlfriends. Have you seen anything about that?
Yes, and we have in fact touched on it as a topic a couple of times on the show so far because it has been something that has been coming up so frequently.
Exactly, brilliant. So if we have this technology that is so real that men are falling in love, and I think women are as well, but for this topic we're talking about male violence against women and girls, men are falling in love with these AI girlfriends, just text words that are coming up on a screen that are so able to tune into that man's needs and their feelings and their wants and desires, right? So I came up with, like, if we're at that level with technology and we're able to use it for those purposes, surely women's safety and women staying alive and having lives where they enjoy and are safe would be a bigger priority than, you know, a love interest on a chatbot, you know. So I thought, could we design and, like, imagine if we were the first country to do this, okay, could we design a virtual reality therapy where perpetrators of violence, whatever form of violence that they are perpetrating, where they go through the justice system, they receive their conviction and their sentence if they're found guilty and all the rest of it, right? But also, alongside all of the justice system working, they were compelled to have to engage in this virtual reality therapy where they would experience what it's like to be a victim of the crime that they've committed. So I'm not saying, you know, get this man to put a virtual reality headset on and look at the world through a woman's eyes. I'm saying, as that man, like, create the technology that it's that man and he's experiencing what it would be like to experience the crime that he has perpetrated against someone else. And the how I came up with this, I had a couple of different things. I am always having interesting conversations with people on the podcast who give me a little snippet of this and a snippet of that. And I recently had that well-known solicitor, Terry Gorey, on the podcast. That episode actually came out today, but I recorded with Terry a few weeks ago. And he said that once he had daughters, he has three daughters, and he said once he had those girls, they were coming home from school and saying what their experience was, then coming home from secondary school, saying what their experience was, then college, then the workplace. He really learned what it was like to live as a woman he got to see the world through a woman's eyes. That's what he said to me. And my brain went, through a woman's eyes. What can we develop? If he as a man had very little awareness of the experience of being a woman and the harassment and the, you know, the catcalling and all of the terrible things that we're experiencing, unfortunately, in the world. If he gained that awareness through being able to see through a woman's eyes, how can we get the perpetrators to see through a woman's eyes? So that's where I came up with this idea.
It's interesting there you talk about abuse, like, it's not just physical, these things. Yeah, I mean, it can be the spectrum of harm, coercive control, harassment, psychological abuse. Like, there's so many things that I know that it's not necessarily just women that it would experience that. But in this case, I know that that's mm-hmm. that we're talking about particularly gender-based violence that affects women.
Yeah.
And
it's, you know, there's a huge amount of different kind of abuse out there. You know, there's from coercive control is really kind of the foundation of domestic violence, you know, and coercive control involves multiple things. You know, like, it's a coercive control is actually a pattern of behavior designed to dominate, intimidate and control another person. So, yeah, it's often the foundation of domestic violence. So the physicality of it really only comes down the line. It's all of the drip feeding of that abuse, the psychological, emotional abuse, financial abuse, that leads to the physical violence, you know.
What role do you think social media platforms themselves should be playing in prevention of things like this, you know, given how much abuse and harassment is happening online as well?
I think social media has a lot to answer for. I mean, my belief and what I speak about on the podcast, most episodes it ends up coming up at some stage or another, like the belief system that, like, say for you, Valerie, right, the belief system that you currently hold is as a result of the messaging that you've received in your brain, okay? So from the education system that you were engaged in, the family that you grew up with and their beliefs, all of the messaging that you were given about what's appropriate, what's good, how you treat your fellow human, how women should be treated, how you act in the workplace, all of the beliefs, your whole belief system is as a result of messaging. And social media is giving our, I was going to say young people, but it's all of us, it's giving our citizens the messaging that is forming their beliefs, because you have this short form content that is just really giving you this repetitive messaging, you know. And I always say to women, you know, if you are struggling with your self-belief, it's because it's as a result of the messaging that you've received. So if you've received the message 50,000 times, you're not good enough, you're nothing, you're not going to make anything of yourself, you have to tell yourself 60,000 times, I am good enough, I am strong, I am capable, you know. With social media, when you're scrolling, like I'm sure you're on TikTok or whatever, when you're scrolling that short form content, imagine the messaging, imagine the volume of messaging that's going in. And especially when our young people in particular, but a lot of adults, don't have the capacity for critical thinking, you know, when they see something, do you have the skill to say, hang on a minute, how do I feel about that? And not just take it as fact, you know. So the role of social media in gender-based violence is, it has, I would say, a huge amount of the share of responsibility on the messaging that we're feeding our young people, and particularly our young boys, you know.
If you had the ear of policymakers or tech companies right now, what's one change you'd want them to take seriously?
I wouldn't bother with the tech companies, gal, because it's not in their interest to keep us healthy. It's in their interest to keep us addicted to phones. So I was going to use a term there that you're something against the wind there, but you're swimming against the tide. Let's use that one. Yeah. Their interest is money, and their interest is raising as much money and gaining as much. As I always say to my, I have a daughter, she's 17 years of age. She's incredible. And for our whole life, I've had these conversations with her. Angel, that phone? There are people in America that are paid millions to keep you addicted to that phone. So if you become addicted, that's not your fault, but it's for us to say, oh, I'm after getting too dependent on that phone, I need to take it back now, you know. So I wouldn't bother with the tech companies. However, if I had the ear of policymakers, I would be asking for our country, like, I think Australia are doing incredible things at the moment. Yes, they've banned social media for young people under 16. I think that's an incredible, like, what a sovereign nation, what a nation that just is very clear on their values, you know. They value their young people's mental health more than they value being paid by Facebook. You couldn't get better than that as a country, for a country to be making decisions of that nature. I would like for our policymakers to be making decisions for our country and making our education system for our young people based around values. I think as a society, we've lost, what are our values? You know, like, if our values are the betterment of our citizens, or if our values are for, you know, women to be safe or whatever, our policies and our systems in place would reflect that. That's not currently our values, you know. So I would like for a real focus on in our young people's early education. I don't know. Let's take, for example, Japan. Japan raised their citizens with a huge amount of social responsibility. So people that I know that have gone to Japan come home and say, there's no rubbish on the ground. There's no, the people don't actually speak on their public transport systems. It's silent out of consideration for other people that are using that public transport system. They don't have people shouting abuse at each other, or abusing drivers, or people who are not from our country, or whatever, like we do on the Lewis. It's just silent because out of consideration for other people. Consideration is a really important value when you want a society that doesn't have a huge amount of violence and antisocial behaviour. So I would really ask for our policy and lawmakers to create a refocus on how we are. I think Ireland has become quite a compo culture and everyone's afraid to say certain things. But if we just came back to basics and we addressed how we are educating our young people and the values that we are instilling in them. Say, for example, right now, for the listeners, do you know what your values are? Do you know where you're operating from? When you make decisions, do you know why you're making those decisions? You know, I have a brilliant, excellent episode coming out next week with Caitlin Dively from The Traitors Ireland. You know,
she's amazing.
Caitlin,
yes.
Who was the only woman in The Traitors this year.
Yes, we've actually spoken to Caitlin on the show before. She's amazing.
What a queen. Love her. She's in her job, she does training on values and organisational development and stuff. And I actually have a really great episode coming out where you learn what your values are and how to operate from them. And I think if we did that as a society, we would be doing much better, particularly in the area of gender-based violence, because I don't know if you're aware of the pyramid of gender-based violence. Have you heard of that before?
I don't know. Am I familiar with the pyramid? No.
So basically, the pyramid is developed to explain how we get to femicide. Femicide is essentially the murder of women, right? So you cannot get to the next level without going through the first level first. The very bottom layer of the pyramid of gender-based violence is sexist attitude, gender norms, and misogyny. If we could eliminate that through values, if we valued fairness, equality, all these kind of really important values in society, we wouldn't have sexist attitudes, because we would look at men and women as though they are equal. You know, if we had respect there, we wouldn't have people engaging in misogynist behavior towards women, saying that women are inferior online, using a language that is disrespectful towards women. You would not have violence against women without the misogyny and the disrespect on the bottom rung of that ladder, or on the bottom layer of that pyramid. So I think a return to values for our policy and our lawmakers would make a huge difference, in my opinion.
And it would be, I would know what you mean there. Like, it would be key to kind of changing this overall. And if people want to hear more of some of your ideas and the podcast as well, where can they find you on socials?
They can find me on Healing Gals Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and wherever you get your podcasts, Healing Gals Podcast. You can hear more of this kind of conversation and loads of other fun stuff as well. We have the crack as well while we're trying to save the world, you know.
I really appreciate you coming on to iRadio's group chat this evening and chatting all about that. It's just such a fascinating topic and such an important conversation to be had. So I'm sure we'll have you on the show again.
Thanks so much, Valerie. It was lovely to speak to you, gal. Happy Christmas to everybody.
This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.